Coming up today, 3 on the Cannons. We'll get you set for a battle for first place this weekend in the NL West between the Padres and the Giants. And our Padres insider, Kevin Acey, will join us. We get going at 3 on Extra 1360 and FM 103.3.
Now you hear that from John Schaefer. It's a battle for first place in the NL West. And that's Schaefer who's teeing it up there. It's going to be a battle for first place in the NL West between the Padres and the Giants. So you have to tune into the Loose Cannon starting at 3 o'clock. We are treating it like it's a battle, in that we're going to have longtime Padre fan Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network on the show here momentarily. Dave Fleming, who calls Giants games on radio and television, will join us coming up at 1 o'clock. And Dennis Lynn from The Athletic will join us coming up at 2 p.m. So we'll talk a lot about Padres and Giants. So I know it doesn't sound like our hearts are into it, about this being some sort of, classic division. It's nowhere. It doesn't rise to the level of Padres and Dodgers from a couple of weeks back, but maybe that's a huge benefit to the San Francisco Giants, that that nobody really seems to feel the same way about it. Let's say hello to DJ Daniel Jeremiah, the Move the Sticks Empire. It is a Twitter handle. It is a podcast. It is a television show. It is a movement. And Daniel Jeremiah joins us on Extra 1360. DJ, it's Darren. Thank you.
How you doing, buddy?
Great. Yourself? How'd you enjoy the Padre game the other night? I saw you strutting your stuff out there on social media.
Yeah, no, it was good, man. It was fun. It was just so fun to get out there. I've been texting with a couple different GMs over the last couple days, and we were talking about how much baseball we've all been watching since the draft ended. It's like a natural relaxer of a sport. You know, you kind of come down off of a big event where you've been grinding and really working hard. There's nothing quite like taking in a nice relaxing ball game and taking your son down there is even better.
So wait a second here. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You've been texting with general managers of NFL teams, and they say that one way to come down from all of the anxiety of an NFL draft is to watch baseball?
That's what they do. Maybe that's not the advertisement baseball wants. Like a muscle relaxer. But they watch a lot of it on TV. It's a chill conversational sport, you know?
Yeah, all right. Well, hey, baseball, the melatonin for NFL general managers.
Yes, it really is.
Well, at least you got to watch Yu Darvish, man. I don't know. That to me, if I'm paying for a ticket, that's the guy I'm paying to watch.
Yeah, I've been to 3 games this year, and he's thrown 2 of them, and when I can get it set up where he's throwing the 5 o'clock game as I get older, Darren, I'm like, it doesn't get any better than that.
Mm. 3 games, huh? Again, Kirk Morrison earlier this week, hey, I'm down in San Diego, I'm hanging out. 3 times at Petco Park. Marty, your phone ring? DJ telling you that he's in the building?
No, but I knew he was, so I was harassing him.
Mm. All right. I don't know. I guess I gotta reevaluate some things here. Nobody calls when they come to town. I'm starting to feel like
Are you going to a lot of games, Darren?
I haven't gone to any.
Oh, there you go.
But I'd go with
That's
you.
Why you're not getting calls.
I'm looking for a reason to go sit in the stands. I don't want to go sit in the press box. I don't really have any purpose there.
Okay. Well, can I cordially invite you to join me?
For Done.
Sit with me.
I mean, unless this is one of these mercy invites, I don't want this to be a pity thing.
No, I saved that for Marty. This is a legitimate one.
Yes. When you and your brother-in-law Josh, anytime you guys want to go, next time you want to go, I'll make myself available no matter what.
We're gonna do it the 4 of us because I want Marty to come too. So we'll do me, Josh, you, and Marty, and we'll go have a great time.
See, and there was the mercy invite. See, I got the mercy invite because with DJ, he knows he would plan to talk baseball with you, and he knows I will just be asking questions about Justin Fields or something like that.
Yeah,
that's all good. We can do the Justin Fields thing right now, Marty, because I am excited. I'm excited for Justin Fields. I'm excited for the Bears. They were so boring offensively, and now it's going to be fun. I was just texting with Matt Nagy the other day and telling him how excited I was for him that he's going to get a chance to, a chance to open this thing up a little bit. And he was telling me that this feels, like he's not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, but just Pat Mahomes brought some energy into that building when he walked in there, and he gets the sense that Mahomes doesn't have the same thing here with Fields.
Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network, joining us on Extra 1360. DJ, that's something that Marty and I were literally just discussing right as we were getting set to come back on the air, is of the rookie quarterbacks, like, who are you most excited to watch? And nothing against Trevor Lawrence. He's probably he's the best. He went number one. He was consensus number one. But I feel like I've seen a lot of Trevor Lawrence, and I don't know that the Jags do a ton for me. But I'm with you. I'm very excited about Trey Lance. I don't know when it is that he's going to play. I'm very excited about Justin Fields. Like, how would you rank them, not in terms of talent, but in terms of how excited you are to see them playing for their new teams?
Yeah, in terms, I would probably go Trey Lance number one for me. And, you know, we've been talking about Trey Lance for over a year, Darren, so you know where I stand with him and how excited I am with him. And then I probably would put Fields second on the excitement meter, just because I'm anxious to see what that offense is going to look like. I am excited to see, you know, Zach Wilson in the Jets, but I feel like we kind of know that offense. We've seen a similar style of quarterback in that offense. So I think we kind of, at least you know what they're hoping it's going to look like. I think what brings the excitement with Lance and with Fields is this is going to be a little bit of a departure from the offense that both those teams have been running. So that's where the excitement comes in, is how's this whole thing going to go together? And everybody talked to me about Trey Lance, like, oh, they didn't throw it that much at North Dakota State. I mean, they didn't throw it more than 18 times a game, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, no, neither are the Niners. The Niners are going to run the ball down people's throats. And he's going to be a little bit of a part of that with the run game, either carrying it or you're going to have to respect him as a runner. So Kyle Shanahan is a guru, I think people think, of passing. He's the best run, you know, coordinator, the best run designer in the league, and now he gets to play 11-on-11. So that's going to be fun.
DJ, as you sit here now, you've had several days to think about it. I know the conversation, it never end. This is it. Like, this is the last time I'm ever going to ask a question about the 49ers, Mac Jones or Trey Lance. But do you yourself have you thought about it? Like that whole process there, is there anything that now seems obvious that perhaps didn't seem obvious before they actually make the pick a week ago yesterday?
Well, it just, to me, it reinforced something. It was a great learning lesson for me through this draft cycle. So I always tell people, I do my top 50 list off my eyes, and I do my mock draft off my ears. And right when that trade happened, when San Francisco went up there, my immediate reaction, we were on air covering Zach Wilson's pro day, my immediate reaction was, oh, this is going to be for Trey Lance. I mean, they just had their pro day, so they're just coming on the heels of that. It's going to give him an athletic quarterback to try and go in a new direction with this offense, which I think will invigorate Kyle Shanahan. And then my phone started blowing up with people that are tight with Kyle, and they were saying, nope, it's Mac Jones. So I think going forward in the future, Darren, I'm going to go ahead and lean a little less on some of those people and lean a little bit more on just kind of my gut and my instinct of what makes sense.
We had Jim Trotter on earlier this week, DJ, and you know, we were talking about, was there anything to gain from the 49ers perspective of allowing the Mac Jones stuff just to, you know, just to fly out there and be talked about every day, every minute of every day? It took up so much oxygen. And, you know, Jim had an interesting point in that Kyle, you know, he didn't want to put that rumor out. Like, he didn't want to put that fire out because he wanted the scouts to take it, digest it, and see if they were true to their convictions, or if they were just going to say something to Kyle that perhaps it seemed like would be a popular opinion. Like, what benefit was there to them, if any? Like, that's all I got from what Trotter told us. But did you see any benefit to them? They're like, well, we're not going to go out there. Why would we put that rumor to rest when we don't have to? But what benefit did it actually serve?
Well, Trot's got good insight, as always. I would say I do think at the beginning part, I do think that Mac Jones was a target, you know, from what you hear after the fact, even, was that was where that process began. Then as they did the rest of their homework and got to be around Trey Lance, it was, and again, not a surprise to me, having met with the kid, that he kind of blew them away and kind of won them over. So they didn't put it out. I don't know in terms of how it benefits them from a competitive standpoint. But I know one thing, the TV networks, including the one I work for, are very thankful that they didn't, because they gave us a little intro. Last thing I want to do is build this thing up with this draft, and then get there on Thursday night and go, okay, well, let's just go through the motions of these first six picks. We know who those guys are. The draft starts at number 7. Like, that's terrible television. So it worked out for us, at least having a little drama there at number 3.
The whole thing has just become such an amazing television experience, I will say. Even for those who think it's a little bit overblown, it is a tremendous television. DJ, last thing. I'm sure we'll talk, you know, when we go to a Padre game here, hopefully not too long. But what do you make of the current situation with the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and how do you, where do you see this going next?
Well, you know, my whole take on it is, I try and put myself in the shoes of Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, and there's only really kind of one there's only one way you can go, in my opinion, which is you meet with Aaron, you offer him a contract to make him the highest paid player in the NFL, which I'm sure they'll readily do if they haven't done already. I would try and tell him, hey, look, you're not going to be making decisions, but we're going to work on being better on including you in that process. You know, you've earned that, which I think he has. And then after we have that conversation, I'm going to say, and just so you know, we're on the same page here. There is a 0% chance I'm trading you. So we want to make you happy. We want to pay you. We want to get you a little bit more involved in what's going on here. But I will never put it on my resume that I traded Aaron Rodgers. It's not happening. So if you don't want to play, I totally get it. And if you want to retire or go pursue Jeopardy or whatever else you want to do, go ahead. But no matter what takes place in the media, there's nothing that will ever force my hand to trade you. That's not going to happen.
Wow. And then if he retires, he retires. And he's got to pay back some money, right?
You drafted a kid in the first round for the next chapter. It wouldn't be the way you'd want to start it. But I would much rather be playing Jordan Love while Aaron Rodgers is hosting Jeopardy than to be playing Jordan Love while Rodgers is hoisting Lombardi somewhere else.
And what if that included, can you get rid of Jordan Love? I mean, does that factor into this conversation?
No, I mean, I would explore that personally. I mean, the way Aaron played this last year shows me that this is not somebody that's going to, you know, fall off a cliff here in the next year or two. He's got plenty of good football left. So, I don't know. I mean, it's okay to say maybe it was a little premature on that move, you know. But that's where I stand on it, Darren. I just know one thing. It's not trading Aaron Rodgers is not going to be on my resume.
I hear you. I'd be in the same situation. DJ, always our pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy. See
you. Thank you. Daniel Jeremiah, the NFL Network. Move the sticks. Now, I picture us all going to this baseball game. DJ's going to sit on the far left side, and he's going to say, Martin, why don't you sit over there on the far right side? So I don't get my ear chewed off because I do enough of this on NFL Network, and I talk to Andrew Siciliano every day. I don't really need this when I'm going to a baseball game.
So he's going to have me on the on the furthest seat away from him.
Yes. Well, it's going to be a discussion as to who's going to want to be as far away from you as possible.
between you and DJ.
Wow. Coming up, our best bets of the day brought to you by Valley View.